Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The history of video games is littered by incredible titles let down by one horrendous feature that just slips through the cracks. But what about the flip side? What about awful games that have a diamond in the rough? Now it's never easy to recommend an otherwise bad game on one decent gameplay mechanic. It can never be harmful to play a bad game for an hour or two to see what could have been and hope said mechanic shows up in a better game. And with that being said, I'm Ben Roy from WhatCulture.com, and this is 9 terrible video games with one incredible mechanic. Number 9. The Flying Anthem. Someone over at EA clearly watched too many Marvel movies and decided that BioWare needed to make a pseudo Iron Man game. And for a long while leading up to this game's launch, this was the thing that Anthem showed off. The idea of a massive RPG with friends is one thing, but with this increased mobility, it seemed like anything was possible. With the combat being fun and fresh and something we've not seen before. Well, unfortunately not, as the flying was pretty much neutered from the get-go. This was one of the main aspects BioWare was showing off, and it was limited incredibly, thanks to some rudimentary overheating system, meaning that if there wasn't a waterfall or a puddle nearby, you had to walk. Now, this wasn't Anthem's only issue, but it was surely the best thing about it, and made most drop this game sooner. Number 8. Remember Me. Memory Remixing. In this one, the player is able to use their memory remixing power to alter people's memories in order to affect their behavior for their own benefit. This involves the player working through several minigame sequences throughout the game, where they reenact memories and make pivotal changes to basically rewrite their mental history. Sure, it is creepy, but it's something memorable from this game at least, as Remember Me was an ambitious failure. Outside of these remix sequences, it had disappointing clunky by-the-numbers combat, a messy story, and oddly uninteresting locales, which really made you want to forget this one. It's as if Don't Nod, the very same minds behind Life is Strange, came up with their hook and then threw everything else at the wall and see if it would stick. As innovative as the memory tinkering is, this game was a real chore to play through. Number 7. A Realistic Inventory System. Alone in the Dark. The 2008 Alone in the Dark reboot had one of the most intriguing inventory systems out there. Well, in the case of recent-ish survival horror games anyway. Rather than opening up a backpack with a grid light system and pausing the game, giving the player ample time to figure things out, protagonist Edward Carnaby simply looks down into his jacket, giving us a bird's eye view of everything in his linen pockets. But the stinger here was, the game didn't pause while he was doing this, so it required the player to work fast, which is something that really adds to the survival horror genre. Though the game was in many ways brave trying to change up the genre, Alone in the Dark was ultimately a slog to get through, married by an abundance of glitches and a forgettable plot, as well as some of the worst driving mechanics in video games, this package just fell flat. It tried to reinvent the series in a gritty fashion, but that just doesn't work if the game's a mess, and this became a really hard sell. Atari did release an improved version for PS3 several months later, but sadly the damage was already done, and most players just didn't care anymore. Number 6. Body Part Detachment. Never Dead. True to its title, Never Dead's single most memorable and well-executed mechanic is that the demon hunter protagonist Bryce can survive pretty much anything, with various limbs being removed all the time. Losing his head is just a minor inconvenience, at which point the player can just roll around the map and pick up the leftover body parts to reform and get back up to their feet. And this gimmick is sadly the only fun you're gonna have in this game. Thanks to its lame controls, boring environments, and non-eventful plot, even the dismemberment itself can be rendered awkward and fiddly at times, thanks to frequently janky physics making it hard to get back together. This one's probably best remembered as a cult classic. It was promisingly bonkers, but for the most part failed to hit the mark. Number 5. Time Travel with a Twist. Blades of Time. Konami's 2012 hack and slash title offered up a terrific entertaining mechanic called Time Rewind, which allowed the player to turn back time and create a clone of themselves that copies the actions the player just carried out. Furthermore, this can be repeated numerous times, effectively building a clone army to solve puzzles, battle enemies, or even escape tough situations. Though of course, there's got to be some repercussions to this, as the rewind time ability restores your enemy's health. So there's a sense of balance to it. As inspiring as this mechanic is, the rest of Blades of Time is pretty shambolic, touting a woefully nothing story, ropey controls, an abundance of bugs, and some infuriating difficulty spikes. Number 4. The Dialogue System, Alpha Protocol. The dialogue system here made an admirable attempt at blurring the lines between good and evil by having the player pick from three modes of conversation throughout the game, which weren't merely labeled as hero, evil, and rogue. Instead, the player must choose between aggression, compassion, and professionalism, with conversations throughout the game requiring a mix of all of these to ensure the greatest of success. It's a surprisingly deep and powerful system, which honestly belongs in a much better game. Though the PC version of this one was better received than consoles, Alpha Protocol is still Mass Effect wannabe, without the budget, the charm, or the integrity. And it wasn't even a good-looking title back in 2010, and of course was filled with a bunch of glitches. The gunplay and cover system felt budget compared to Gears of War, and the AI was laughable. This all added up to be a hugely disappointing effort from Obsidian. Number 3. Word Recognition, Scribblenauts. The fantastic hook to this game was the player had the ability to conjure up any object they could think of, just by writing it down on a Nintendo DS touchscreen, which aside from some adult-rated desires, can deliver pretty much anything you ask for on screen, and led to a successful series of titles in the following years. But outside of this core system that was the selling point, it was an infuriating game to play, and like many of these games on this list, the main culprit was the control system, which was even disliked by the people that loved this one. Players are forced to use the imprecise touchscreen to guide Maxwell around, which makes a chore out of performing even the basic of movements. And like several other games on this list, the game was really ambitious, but fell flat in some basic areas. Thankfully, the sequel Super Scribblenauts made up for this. Number 2. The GoldenEye. GoldenEye Rogue Agent. After the N64 game, the James Bond franchise was pigeonholed into being a shooter, all the way until the license was dropped by both EA and Activision. And between the Brosnan and Craig Bond, EA made a desperate attempt at cashing in on the GoldenEye name. After James Bond dies and you lose your eye, you get a GoldenEye replacement. It allows the player to see through walls, create a protective shield, it's got hack abilities and a magnetic field, which was basically the Force. So maybe Christopher Lee was channeling a bit too much Count Dooku when reprising his role as Scaramanga. Sadly, this game was a bit of a mess from the get-go. In theory, it had some cool concepts, but didn't play well, and was just like a kid bashing Bond figures together, in the worst way. Dr. No versus Goldfinger should have been awesome, especially with all the other characters brought in. Well, not including Bond was a weird one, and this just felt like EA trying to capitalize on the Bond name, and that N64 game we all know and loved. Number 1. The Visual Style. Kane & Lynch 2 Dog Days. Making a sequel to Kane & Lynch was a bold move by IO Interactive. The first game wasn't really well received, and even caused a bunch of controversy across the internet, back when that wasn't really an hourly occurrence. But it seemed like IO Interactive really made an effort with this one, and the revamped visual style at least helped this one stand out for a little while. Censoring the violence and some other extreme imagery was really more effective than just showing it. None more so prevalent than when Kane & Lynch had both been horribly cut up, and then escaped their captors, running naked through the street covered in blood. Yes, this game goes places, and even censoring an exploding headshot worked wonders. What didn't work wonders was, well, everything else. After the shock factor wears off, this game becomes just a ropey cover shooter. Both characters are ramped up to 11 for the entire game, and it just becomes normal. You become desensitized to it all after a while, and some players even got motion sickness thanks to the camera shake. If Kane and or Lynch ever do return in a meaningful way, IO Interactive should try this art style once more, as it was the most memorable thing of the entire franchise, but maybe toned down the game in some other aspects. The game was left open for a sequel, and with IO Interactive being independent now, I'd be interested in seeing a third one.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.